Hello, listeners. Today is Wednesday, July 27th. Welcome to Behind the Numbers, Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast made possible by Sky. This is the show where we talk about how retail collides with every part of our lives. I'm your host, Sarah Lebo. Today, we are talking about TikTok shopping. My first guest is joining me way too early in the morning for her time zone. It is Principal Analyst Jasmine Enberg. Welcome, Jasmine.
Hey, Sarah. Great to be here.
Thanks for being here. Also here today is Senior Analyst Sky Canavis. Hi, Sky.
Hi, Sarah. It's great to be back.
Yeah, thanks for being here. All right, we're going to kick off the show with our first segment, News and Reviews, where I give the news and our guests tell me their reviews. Today's headline is a July 19th piece from Retail Dive titled, Instagram Launches Payment in Chat Feature for Businesses. The new feature allows users to buy from qualified small businesses directly in the chat functionality via MetaPay. That means businesses don't need an Instagram shop to complete all aspects of the transaction on Instagram. Jasmine, your review of Instagram launching this payment in chat feature in 60 seconds is...
So Instagram wants to be a literal one-stop shop for businesses on the platform. I spoke with Bridget Evans, who is the head of business marketing for Instagram Shopping last month, and she told me that the whole reason that Instagram Shopping was created in the first place was so that people could learn more about an item without having to leave the app. This, of course, is the next phase, finalizing the purchase on the app too. Now, Instagram, of course, has a direct checkout capability, but it's only available to businesses that use Instagram shops. And it's not really shaping up to be what Instagram hoped. Most small and medium-sized businesses don't have a dedicated shop, which means they don't use direct checkout. They're also a core part of the commerce and advertiser base on Instagram. So this really opens up an avenue for their customers to be able to check out in the app. And Instagram benefits by driving more engagement to its commerce and messaging tools and getting access to more customer data at a time when its tracking and targeting capabilities are severely limited.
Gotcha. So yeah, Instagram becoming a one-stop shop. Sky, your review of this headline in 60 seconds is...
So I think it's interesting that Meta is focusing on Instagram chat as a source for checkout and payments rather than WhatsApp, which is its real, you know, straightforward messaging app. And I think that highlights to how Meta is looking to this platform as kind of its social commerce salvation. It has the more attractive audience than Facebook. There's more commerce taking place on Instagram already than on WhatsApp, for example. So it reminds me a little of what happens in China with WeChat. But whereas WeChat really started out as a messaging app, this is Instagram that started out more as a social app and is now starting to take on more of the social commerce features that we see in places like China.
Yeah, that makes sense. I've used Instagram DMs for a transaction, but then gone to Venmo to make the transaction, like if buying art from an Instagram artist. I would be curious about like Instagram's level of responsibility in the transaction now, but I think that's something to watch. Now it's time for our next segment, Retail Me This, Retail Me That, where we discuss an interesting retail topic. Today, we are talking about TikTok and e-commerce on TikTok. So in the US this year, users will spend more time on TikTok than on any other social media platform. TikTok edged out YouTube for that victory at 45.8 minutes per day compared to YouTube's 45.6 minutes per day. So 0.2 difference, but still beat out YouTube. 94 million people in the US are already on TikTok and more continue to join. Jasmine, can you tell me more about TikTok's e-commerce opportunity?
Yeah, let's start by cutting through some of the noise that's out there in the media right now. There was a report not too long ago that said TikTok was scaling back its social commerce efforts in the US. Now, TikTok, of course, publicly denied that, but more importantly, that report was really focused on TikTok Shop, which is its live commerce feature. And even if it were to scale that back, it's certainly not a reflection of TikTok's overall social commerce ambitions or its opportunity. You just ran through the numbers, so we know that users are spending an overwhelming amount of time on the platform. And to be clear, those figures don't include teens. And if they were to include teens, I expect that number would be much, much higher. And I make that point because every minute that those users spend on the platform really is an opportunity for brands and retailers to be able to reach them.
Sure. So this year, TikTok in the US is going to make around $6 billion in ad revenues, which is, it's more than Snap, it's more than Twitter, more than Pinterest. It's still significantly less than Facebook, which is at about $25 billion, and Instagram. Instagram's at about $30 billion. Should TikTok be focused more on ad revenues or on e-commerce revenues? Which is it more focused on right now?
I think we've seen TikTok is already so strong at driving commerce. The kind of viral quality of the app where you can see a product, discover it, and you want to buy it now creates a really compelling use case for in-app commerce rather than just advertising to, you know, drive consideration of a purchase later on. And this is something that TikTok is still developing. It's still in the very early stages here in the US. Right now, there's TikTok shopping. The new features allow TikTok users with a business account to link their product catalog so people can see the products, but they have to check out through a browser that's in-app. So they're not leaving the app, but it's not a completely seamless in-app experience. And they're still in the very early stages of making this push. If we look at China, where ByteDance is headquartered and it's TikTok's Chinese counterpart, Douyin, we can really see hints as to the scope of TikTok's potential and its ambitions. We know that Douyin recently announced that its e-commerce GMV had tripled for the past year ending in April. And it didn't share specific figures, but analysts estimate that it was close to 120 billion USD in GMV for 2021 and expect it to grow to about 150 billion US this year. To put that into context, that's about a quarter of Amazon's GMV of 600 billion last year. But its big competition, Alibaba in China, is at like 1.2 trillion. last year. So it's still a relatively small player in the e-commerce market in China, but it's growing very rapidly. In the outside of China, Chinese media has reported that TikTok itself had GMV of just under $1 billion last year globally. And most of that, about 70%, was in Indonesia. The rest was in the UK. The US has really just started to, you know, get going on this front, and there's still a lot to come.
Yeah, I think, Skye, you are spot on. I would say that commerce is probably the cornerstone of TikTok's monetization strategy, and it has this roadmap already in China, but it is directly tied to the ad opportunity as well. You really cannot have one without the other on TikTok. It's become this amalgamation of media and marketing and commerce, and you need one to have the other. And to Skye's point as well, I think that a lot of advertisers really still make the mistake of viewing TikTok as a channel that really drives upper funnel goals like brand awareness or middle funnel goals like consideration. But TikTok is doing its best to change that, and it's really rolling out a ton of different ad formats that are really aimed at driving performance dollars and attracting both e-commerce and performance advertisers to the platform. And we're seeing that some of them are starting to bite.
Yeah, I know I asked about ad revenues versus e-commerce revenues, but it does seem like it's almost an arbitrary distinction with something like TikTok or Instagram, where you're really blurring the line between what is an ad and what is essentially a shopping listing. You mentioned brands using TikTok for upper and middle funnel goals. Sounds like you think they should be using it for more direct purchase acquisition as well, getting shoppers to actually buy there. What should brands be doing on TikTok?
Well, I think that's part of it. I mean, I think brands should really be viewing TikTok as this full funnel commerce and advertising vehicle. I think, you know, there is, of course, it has a really huge audience and a very engaged audience. So both of those really lend itself to achieving goals throughout the purchase funnel. But really, I think, you know, in terms of commerce specifically, what they should be thinking about is the content first and then shopping second. So it's really about creating great TikTok content that resonates with the users and then layering shoppability on top of that, whether that's through things like product tags or then amplifying a creator post via paid media to drive shopping goals. I think that that is really sort of the key approach to how to drive sales off of TikTok.
Gotcha.
I think it's key to figure out who the TikTok audience is, who that the brand has the most natural affinity with already on TikTok. We talk a lot about Gen Z and TikTok, and certainly they're probably the most influential demographic on TikTok. But from our numbers, we know that the majority of TikTok users are older than Gen Z. The platform has really expanded. So it's not just a young audience on there that's looking to purchase. There are older consumers as well. For example, in the beauty space, I think of some of the most viral beauty personalities I've come across recently. One is the legendary makeup artist, Bobbi Brown, who's become the very candid face on TikTok for her new brand, Jones Road, and uses TikTok directly to speak to her audience and drive sales for the brand. And Martha Stewart is another name, even though she's in her 80s. She's appeared recently in a series of ads for a beauty brand that have really gone viral. And these are like $400 face creams. So the brand is not one that, you know, most like teenagers are going to be buying, but there's clearly a lot of interest in the content. And just because it's so entertaining.
Yeah, even for those like non-high luxury brands, I feel like in beauty specifically and other areas, a lot of popular TikTokers were once popular YouTubers. So by nature, they're not like these teenagers. I mean, a lot are, but yeah, there's definitely a variety in the same way that one person's TikTok feed might be completely different than another person's. Brands will have completely different audiences across TikTok, depending on who they're trying to reach, who right. they're actually reaching.
Right. Like I'm a mom, so I get mom talk all the time.
I'm curious about what mom talk entails because I get only the weirdest TikToks. Okay, so TikTok's shopping feature, it's starting to look more like Instagram's shopping feature. Instagram's video features are starting to look more like TikTok's videos. How concerned should TikTok be about other platforms encroaching on its e-commerce goals?
Well, so we actually just released a new forecast, which I think speaks really well to your question. And we've forecasted the number of TikTok buyers in the US for the first time. So we are now expecting about 24 million people in the US to make a purchase via TikTok this year, which puts it ahead of Pinterest and behind only Facebook and Instagram. And that number is growing really, really fast. This year, there's about 17 million more Instagram buyers than TikTok buyers. But next year, that gap will close to about Instagram having just 10 million more than TikTok. So you can see that that number is really, really rising.
Wow. I'm curious, have either of you ever bought something on TikTok?
Not on TikTok, but TikTok has certainly made me buy it. And actually, I talked about this in the TikTok commerce webinar, but it's the MAC Stack mascara. I get a lot of beauty talk on my For You page. And I was in Ulta Beauty and I saw it and I had to buy it. It happened way later, but it was a TikTok-inspired purchase for sure.
Interesting. What about you, Sky?
Yeah, I haven't made a direct purchase on TikTok, but I've certainly been influenced to buy something pretty quickly from seeing it on TikTok. So the more of those direct commerce capabilities that they enable on the platform, the more commerce is going to take place through TikTok, because it's just really, you see something and you want to buy it right away, especially in categories like beauty or food or, you know, consumer goods, you know, items that don't require a great deal of consideration that are kind of fun to buy and you see an entertaining video about them. I think it's a very powerful platform for that.
It's that FOMO. And the more they capitalize on that, the more their sales will rise.
I want to put a pin in this conversation for now and talk more about hashtag TikTok made me buy it after the break, if that's still a relevant hashtag. So we're going to take a look at what users are up to on TikTok after the break. But first, a quick word from our sponsor, Sky. Sky's omnichannel marketing platform connects your data and workflows across all walled garden media. Sky empowers leading brands and agencies with insights they can use, data they can trust, and impact they can measure on the media that matters most. Access data intelligence, make real-time campaign optimizations, manage all digital channels, and understand what's actually working in order to drive growth. Learn more or request a personalized demo at sky.io. That's SKAI.io. Welcome back from the break. Now it's time for pop-up rankings, where we take a look at specific examples and we rank them. This week, Jasmine and Sky are ranking the top four TikTok communities driving commerce right now. So Jasmine, I'm going to throw it over to you. Can you tell me your number one TikTok community driving commerce right now?
I'm going to go with BookTok, and I love BookTok. I am certainly not the only one. The BookTok hashtag has more than 64 billion views when I checked my app today, and the BookTok challenge hashtag has another 87 million. And if you've ever spent any time in the BookTok community, you know that it's full of regular TikTok users like myself, creators and celebrities that are all sharing book recommendations, reviews, and really just having conversations about the books that they like to read. And BookTok has gotten so big now that it has been credited with reviving print book sales, really breathing new life into the publishing industry. That has obviously gotten the attention of TikTok itself. And just last week, it announced that it is launching the TikTok Book Club, which is a dedicated hub in the app where BookTokers can go and do whatever it is that they're already organically doing on TikTok. There's also Book of the Month. The first one is Jane Austen's Persuasion, which is super timely considering Netflix also just released an adaptation of the book. And at the end of each month, TikTok will host a live stream with creators who are discussing the book, just like you would do in an in-person book club.
That makes sense. I have not read Persuasion, but maybe I'll be persuaded to.
You should. And I love the pun.
I love Pride and Prejudice, so I should line that up for sure. So we have BookTok driving print media sales, driving book sales. This feels to me like a natural evolution of things like Reese's Book Club and Oprah Winfrey's Book Club, this super popular central area for finding out what everyone's reading right now. Sky, I'm going to throw it over to you. Can you tell me the number two TikTok community driving commerce right now?
Sure. I'm going to go with beauty fans. Beauty talk is so big. The hashtag for beauty has 106 billion views and counting. So it's really one of the biggest product categories on TikTok. It meshes so well with the combination of entertainment and discovery that are a big part of the platform's appeal. And we constantly see all these beauty trends and micro trends bubbling up on TikTok and going viral. Anything from eyebrows to face jewels to like makeup from the HBO show Euphoria. And there's so many niche hashtags around beauty on TikTok. And it's just really been great from discovery. And it's a big shift from, I think, what we were talking about earlier, like the classic YouTubers who did beauty, who were much more long form with beauty tutorials. Now you're really getting quick hits on TikTok, and there's a huge audience for that. And beauty's been a key part of TikTok's commerce development as I see it. For example, last year when Shopify hooked up with TikTok to launch TikTok Shopping, the first brand to participate in this program was Kylie Cosmetics. And one of Walmart's first live streaming events was on TikTok and was dedicated to beauty. So there's really just a huge audience for beauty on TikTok. So it really stands out as a driver of commerce for that category.
Yeah, Kylie Cosmetics being Kylie Jenner's makeup company. I feel like the same way TikTok blew up, in part because of the moment that it was becoming popular, right? Like during the pandemic, while people had nothing to do but scroll. Beauty also, it's a really specific moment for beauty where TikTok can be capitalizing, right? Because beauty sales are huge because people are going back out there. So it makes sense that TikTok will ride this wave and capitalize on this beauty trend. Jasmine, can you give me another of the top four TikTok communities driving commerce right now?
Yes, I'm going to go with Recipe Talk, which is another really big community on TikTok. And that hashtag has about 175 billion views as of today. And it's just what it sounds like. It's where users really go to share recipes and meals and cooking how-to videos. Now, TikTok recipes have actually gotten so popular that back last December, TikTok announced that it was launching ghost kitchens for TikTok recipes. I had a look about this online this morning, and it doesn't seem as if that has actually been rolled out yet. But the idea is that restaurants can add famous TikTok recipes to their delivery menus. But what it has done is that TikTok has partnered with Instacart. And through this partnership, food talkers and recipe talkers can add shoppable recipes to their videos. It's still really in its early days. I think it launched in March, but the idea here is that those creators add these shopping lists with a button that users can click on that then automatically adds all of those items and ingredients to a user's shopping cart on Instacart.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Do you know if that exists on any other like food or recipe websites?
I don't know. I will say I'm not a big cooker, so I don't get a lot of cooking or recipe videos. I don't know. Something to look into.
I feel like I see this on grocery supermarket websites and apps where they would naturally do that with their video or recipe content. But other than that, I think for social, this is pretty unique.
Yeah, I certainly haven't heard of it on another social platform.
Yeah, it's definitely like a higher level of integration, especially with pulling Instacart specifically into that than I'm familiar with. So we have Food Talk and potentially Ghost Kitchens, but also that Instacart integration. Skye, can you give me the last huge TikTok community you see as driving commerce right now?
Sure. My pick is going to be Thrift Talk, which revolves around thrifting and secondhand clothing. We talked on the podcast a couple of episodes ago about resale in fashion, and shopping for secondhand clothes is so big among Gen Z today. You know, there's that thrill of the hunt and joy of great finds. It meshes really well with the, you know, trends for 90s fashion and Y2K fashion. You know, they can score great deals, and it's so much more sustainable than buying new. And if Gen Z is passionate about something, there's going to be TikTok communities that develop around it. So Thrift Talk emerged as thrift shoppers kind of sharing their hauls and styling ideas and inspiration. And what I love about Thrift Talk is that what started out as a really digital and social trend has made its way to the real world. Some of the most popular TikTok thrifters have been opening physical stores to share their finds. Emma Rogue is the best known. She has a shop in the Lower East Side in New York City, and Post Malone recently stopped by her store to pick up some t-shirts. So her video of that has like 10 million views. These shops typically offer a very highly curated selection of finds that really reflect the owner's taste and personal style. So it's not like the typical secondhand store that offers a more general assortment of merchandise, say like for high-end fashion or something. And so that very personal aspect is something that's very appealing. And I think that something like that could hold the keys for like live streaming to find greater traction, where you have like the combination of personality and sharing their style and really unique products that they've selected, rather than kind of an influencer just hawking whatever they're paid to hawk.
Yeah, these stores exist, and that's huge for commerce related to TikTok. Is TikTok currently capitalizing on those physical stores in some way?
Not yet, but I could easily see them hosting pop-ups around thrift shops and doing things with the creators who are very active in thrifting and helping connect those creators to brands. And, you know, we see in the resale fashion world, we see a lot of brands who are working with designers and creators to kind of upcycle or create new versions of clothing, using used clothing, you know, kind of to promote sustainability and how goods can be creatively reused.
Yeah, I feel like we've definitely covered some examples of TikTok driving e-commerce with Book Talk, Beauty, Food Talk, thrifting, all of these, but also examples of TikTok driving in-person commerce too. These thrift shops, Jasmine mentioned seeing a product from TikTok in an Ulta store and buying it. So I think the question is how TikTok will capitalize on making sure that they are the platform that benefits from these sales. All right. Well, that is all we have time for today. Thank you both for talking to me. Thanks, Jasmine.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, everyone.
And thanks to you, Skye.
Thanks, Sarah. Great to see you again.
Thank you, listeners, and to Victoria, who edits the podcast and who will be telling me what her favorite TikTok trend is after this, because I need to know.
Please don't say it's Y2K fashion. I'm all for nostalgia, but not that one.
Something tells me it won't be. We'll be back next Wednesday with another episode of Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast made possible by Skye. And tune in tomorrow as Marcus brings you another episode of the Behind the Numbers Daily, an e-marketer podcast. Victoria, tell us what your favorite TikTok trend is.
It makes me very happy to know that you think Y2K might be my favorite trend, that I'm actually young enough to like want to revisit that. It makes me so angry. Do you know how much stuff I've purged from my closet over the years? It's coming back in style now, and it's just so incredibly frustrating.
I know. Trust me.
But I'm also on farm animal TikTok. So a lot of like farm sanctuaries and stuff. There's this guy in Michigan that like, when he opened a sanctuary, wrote a children's book, and he just like cuddles with cows and stuff. amazing. There's another one that comes up. It's this girl who has a exotic animal sanctuary, and her best friend is an emu named Emmanuel, and he's like—
Wait, I love Emmanuel!
Emmanuel the emu, he's so fun!